Today is Saturday, the 6th of April, 2024, and we are gathered here on a Saturday for the 127th session on Mindfulness for Beginners in the English Medium, conducted by Venerable Bante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero under the guidance of Nisanamanaya Forest Monastery. And I would like to welcome Venerable Bante with great respect on behalf of all of us who are gathering through the Zoom session as well as through the live stream over Facebook. Furthermore, I would like to also welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and also through the live session to today's talk and sermons and program on mindfulness. Apologies for the slight delay on my end in starting up the program today. I would like to mention that the program will commence with in-session practice guided by Bante, and then we will move on to the talk, which is a continuation from last week, and then we will forward the question, verbal written questions and reports, and any verbal questions or reports on mindfulness for Bante's valued advice. So to start things off in the session, I would like to invite Venerable Bante to commence with in-session practice. Over to Bante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everyone. To start today's program, let's try to do a few minutes of mindful sitting. For this, you can sit in a comfortable manner. Make sure that you are balanced and comfortable. Once you are comfortable and balanced, you can gently close your eyes. Now today what we are going to do is just to observe how different objects, different mind objects appear in your field of awareness. Your attention might go to various things. You just have to be mindful that this is happening. It may go to sounds, bodily sensations, various thoughts, memories, planning, pain, sleepiness. Whatever it is, you simply notice, become mindful that you are hearing sounds, become mindful that you are thinking thoughts, become mindful that you feel pain in your body. We allow our mind to roam freely while being conscious of it. Let's try and continue this practice for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. That's our time for today's mindful practice. With that, Namanta, you can take go.
Thank you, Bhante, and many merits for the guidance in the in-session practice. Next, we have the talk on mindfulness for today, and it is a continuation from last week's talk. So I will share the screen for the title, and I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the second half of the topic from last week's topic, which is about being prisoners of our own devices. I have shared the screen. Over to Bhante again. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. It's the same topic that we discussed last time, the same quote. But today we are directing our attention towards something else. So we are taking it with a twist and see how we can relate it in some other way. The same quote we can relate to today's technology. We can relate to the devices that we are using. We are all just prisoners here of our own device. So it's going to be your smartphone or the other smart devices that you are using. So last time we had a different idea. Today we are discussing the same topic with a twist. We'll see how we can relate this new idea to the same topic. Now, before I go into the explanation, let me present some facts about the device use, the use of the smartphones. Let me present some facts. Now, in this world, we have around 7 billion people. And out of that 7 billion people, about 4.5 billion, they don't have a working toilet. It says that 6 billion out of these 7 billion have a cell phone. So you can see how widespread these devices are, how critical part they play in our lives. Now, when it comes to the smartphones, the devices that you're using, it says that on average, you touch or click the screen. You touch the screen about 2600 times daily. So daily, this many touches you give on average. This many clicks you give on average. 2600 touches per day. So you can see how much time you are spending on these devices and how it is affecting our mental health, how it is affecting the status of our mind. This topic is worth discussing because so many people are using these devices and you are spending so much time on them. So it's better we discuss. It's better that we be conscious about the effect of these devices to our mental health. That's our topic today. We'll see whether we are truly prisoners of these devices. These devices, the smartphones, they have become too smart that now the devices are outsmarting us. The smartphones have become too smart. Now they can outsmart us. All these technologies, new technologies like AI, are used in these devices, increasingly used in these devices. So it's better we understand how these things are affecting our mental health. It's better we be conscious of how to use them wisely. Now let me explain a little bit more about this device use. Anyway, during a day you have 24 hours. Out of that you have certain hours occupied for your work, then certain hours you sleep, then certain hours you do necessary things for your survival, like eating, drinking, those things. The survival part is also there. So sleeping time, working time, the survival time, these things are usually more or less the same. You have to do it, you have to sleep, you have to eat your meals, you have to work and earn a living. So these things, they are more or less the same. But when you reduce these hours, then you'll have some time left for yourself. That is the personal time. We can say it's personal time. So you have certain personal time. This time is very valuable. Why? Because out of this personal time, you use for hobbies. Then out of this personal time, you spend time with your close friends or family, close relationships. This personal time is the part where you reflect, think, be creative. So although this personal time, these few hours, although they are small, they are very much important to your life. Now when it comes to these smartphones, devices, it says that they have occupied about 80% of your personal time. Whenever you are free, whenever you have some time left, you are occupied with this device. So you can see how much of an impact that would have. Because this is the worthwhile time that you spend in a day. You sleep certain hours, you work certain hours, you do your survival things certain hours. When you reduce all those hours, this is the time that you really live. This is the time that you spend with your family. This is the time that you reflect on your life, make decisions and stuff. This is the time for your hobbies. This is the time to go outside and relax yourself. So out of this personal time, about 80% is utilized for these smart devices. You'll be using a phone instead of talking to your family members. You'll be using a phone instead of going outside. You'll be stuck doing something on a phone instead of thinking, reflecting about your life. So this is what happens. This is how these devices can really harm you, right? So when you go to these devices, let's say you are using social media, let's say you are browsing those videos, when you do such things, usually these devices, they don't have a stopping cue. Usually when you read a book, when you watch a movie, when you do some other thing, usually there is a stopping sign. When you finish certain pages, you are done with the book. When you watch a drama, you are done with it. When you do certain other things, usually after some time, you are done with it. But the problem with these devices, with this non-stop browsing, is that there's no real stopping clue. Nothing, there's no end to it. It's a bottomless pit. Again and again, refreshing, feeding you more and more information. So you can see how it could make us prisoners of our own devices. Plan for 20 minutes and you end up spending 2 hours there. without you even knowing, you end up spending 2 hours. And that's quality time of your day. That's the time that you have to spend with your family. That may be the time that you have for your hobbies. That may be the time for you to, you know, go outside. But instead, you are just prisoners of these devices. So that's how it is harming. And the weird thing is that usually when it comes to those companies, they say this idea of dog feeding. It is a story that says that's the head, the CEO of a pet product company. He went in front of an audience and ate a dog feed. And the idea he conveyed is that if it is good for me to eat, it is good for your pet. So they have this idea of dog feeding. Whatever the company, they are using their own brand to show people that this is worth consuming. They are using their own car to show people that this is worth using. They are using their own brand to show people that this is worth using. But when it comes to these tech companies, the weird thing is that this dog feeding companies, this dog feeding concept is not there. They don't consume their own food because they know that it's not good. They know that it could harm people. They have done so many researchers trying to figure out how to get people more and more hooked into these devices. A lot of sciences are there, a lot of research is there, and they have new technologies, new ways of getting people hooked on these devices, truly making them prisoners of their own devices. So that's why when it comes to these tech companies, they are not using the concept of dog feeding. There was this interview with Steve Jobs, and it was soon after he introduced the iPad for the first time. And, you know, at the end of the interview, the person who was conducting the interview asked a simple question from Steve Jobs. He asked, "Your kids must be enjoying this iPad very much." That was the question that was asked. And the answer Steve Jobs gave surprised the audience. He said that they haven't used these devices. We are controlling the use of these devices at our home. So that's the answer he gave. So they are not using their own product because they know how harmful it could be if you spend so many hours on these devices. So the very first idea is that you have to be more conscious of this. Just at least don't try to stop from tomorrow. It won't happen. At least try to be conscious that I'm wasting this many hours on my phone. I'm wasting this many hours on social media. That consciousness is important. That is the starting point. That's where the mindfulness will come in. If you're mindful, then you know that you have a problem. If you're mindful, then you know how this is affecting you. That's also important. If you know that this is affecting your mental health, then that is helpful for you to make a better choice. If you know that you are spending so many hours on these devices, then that is helpful for you to make a different choice. So the very first thing is that you have to be more conscious of your use, how hooked you are on your own devices, that you have to be aware. Then with that awareness, with that mindfulness, then you can gradually work towards making things better. That process is gradual. That process might take time, but at least as the initial step, you have to be aware. You have to be conscious that you are using or wasting so many hours on these devices. You have to be conscious that these devices, after so many hours of use, this is how it is affecting the status of my mind. This is how I feel after spending so many hours on social media. That consciousness is very important. In a way, when we use these devices, when we spend time on them, in a way we are doing a meditation. But it is not a positive meditation. Instead, this is a destructive meditation. Average viewing time of a video is 15 seconds. Average viewing time of a web page is 15 seconds. So what happens when you get distracted every 15 seconds? In a way, you are training your mind to get distracted. That's the training that you do. So like that, if you spend 2 hours doing that, what will happen to you? That's the 2 hours of negative meditation or destructive meditation. Right? So that very awareness is important. In a way, we are always training our mind. Let it be positive or negative, it doesn't matter. You are always training your mind. So when you are training your mind, these devices, they train you in a negative way, in a destructive way. Some teenagers these days, they find it really hard to maintain their attention. They say they can't focus, they can't be with something, they can't listen to their teacher, they can't read the book. Why? Their minds are distracted. And they wonder, what is the reason behind this? Why can't I pay attention to my work? Why can't I pay attention to the teacher? They question themselves. But you have to understand, maybe they are spending 5-6 hours per day on social media, on browsing YouTube or TikTok videos. So when you do so many hours of negative meditation, in a way, you are training your mind to get distracted. Then you go to the classroom, the same behavior will be there in the mind. You start reading a book, the same behavior will be there in the mind. So complaining won't help. Instead, you have to be aware that this is happening. You have to gradually train your mind in a positive way. So that's what we did as the practice part today. Usually a person with so many hours of social media or the smartphone use, they find it really hard to focus on a certain thing. So even when they start meditating, they say that I can't focus on my breath. I can't focus on the walking. I am unable to maintain my attention there. So that's fine. Instead, you simply be mindful. That's our recommendation. Today, we didn't try to bring our attention to a certain object. Instead, we allowed our mind to roam freely while being conscious of it. When the sounds appear in your field of awareness, you are conscious that you are hearing the sounds. When the thoughts appear in your field of awareness, you are conscious that you are hearing the thoughts. When the bodily sensations appear in your field of awareness, you are conscious of that. So this way, we allow our mind to get distracted. We allow our mind to roam freely and simply be conscious of it. That's the training that we did today. And when you do this, gradually you can work towards bringing your attention to the breath. Gradually you can work towards bringing your attention to the steps that you can do later. But the very first step is being conscious that your mind is distracted, being conscious that you are hearing sounds, being conscious that there are so many thoughts in your head. That very consciousness is enough. That is the true mindfulness that we are talking. When we bring our attention to the breath, it is the mindfulness of the breath. When we bring our attention to the walking body, it is mindfulness of the walking body. But instead, we can simply be mindful. Without the object of awareness, we simply continue with our awareness. That too is valid, that practice you can do. And gradually, when you become better at it, gradually you can train yourself to bring your attention to the breathing, repetitively observe your breath. That is concentrating, that is focusing on a certain object, on a single object. That training is helpful if you are really distracted. It will take some time for you to train yourself, but gradually you can do it. But before you do that, you have to be conscious. You have to be mindful that you are distracted. That very mindfulness is enough. And we have a momentary concentration when we do that. For a moment, you have a concentration. Next moment, you have a different concentration. So in a way, when we are mindful, without a specific object of mindfulness, we have a momentary concentration. It's like now the target is not fixed. Instead, we are shooting at a moving target. So that practice is also valid. That practice is really helpful. So the target is moving, the objects are changing. You have a momentary concentration on the objects. For a moment, you know that you are hearing the sounds. For a moment, you know that you are feeling the body. For a moment, you know that you are thinking thoughts. That very momentary concentration is a very valuable skill, and that is really the practice that we are recommending. Concentrating on a single object could be helpful in short term, but when you mature into this practice, you have to develop the ability to observe, the ability to be mindful without a certain object of mindfulness. So that training is there, and we can really relate that training to the topic that we are discussing today. If your mind is totally distracted, then you don't know what you are doing. First, you have to be aware of these distractions. Know after a few hours of social media use, this is how my mind is. After so many days of this practice, this negative meditation, I am always distracted. That very awareness is helpful. You are aware that you are spending so many hours per day on your devices. You are aware that you feel bad in your mind. Maybe sometimes you even feel guilty in your mind because of this use. So with that, you can do things to, you can take actions to make things better. You can do things, you can make different choices. Now, let's say maybe you can create certain guidelines for you. Nowadays, people are creating these guidelines regarding the smartphones, devices. Some people, they have made a decision not to use these devices while they are on the dinner table. They are having their dinner and they are not using the devices. They keep the devices away because this is valuable family time. So instead of being distracted in a phone, they try to spend that quality time with the family. So intentionally they are avoiding. using the devices during that time. Some people, they put their phones or devices on flight mode during the weekend. So you can use it as a camera, but you can't receive calls or use internet. So these actions you can take, but when you take them, you realize it is really difficult. They have this new idea or the new phobia, which is called nomophobia. No mobile phobia, nomophobia. So when there is no mobile on you, you feel this phobia. When you are away from your phone, you feel this phobia. So it is called nomophobia, no mobile phobia. And you can really feel it. When you stay away from the phone, you can really feel it. Again and again, you get repetitive thoughts to check your phone. Again and again, you get repetitive thoughts to, you know, go and take it. So these mind patterns, you have to really observe and see. Some people, whenever they are waiting, they have this urge to use the phone. Go to a waiting room and see what they are doing. They sit down, they take their phone out. Go to a line, probably in a bank or something. They are waiting in line, checking their phones. So this is how people behave these days, right? Whenever they are waiting, they are on their phone. They use these devices to get rid of the boredom. They don't like the waiting. So this is their solution. In a waiting room, people come in, they sit down, they take their phones out. That's what they do, right? So prisoners of their own devices truly works with this quote. We are all just prisoners here of our own device. So gradually you have to develop the ability. Initially you feel like you're a person who is hooked on a drug. Let's say what happens when you stop using a drug? You start detoxing. You get detoxing symptoms. So initially when you start to control these 4 hours, if you are really addicted, then you are like a person who is addicted on heroin. And when you stop using, you start to feel these detoxing symptoms. Anxieties, there are various other physical symptoms are there. Certain fears are there. So this is how it is. So most people, they give in to the fear. Most people, they give in to the detoxing. They start using again. But what you have to do is that you have to go through this process. Little by little, develop the ability, develop the courage, and continue with it. And when you face it for a while, when you continue for a few weeks, then you realize you become much better at it. Now your mind can survive without these devices. Now you have trained your mind in a different way. With that different training, you can survive without the device. I'm not saying for days, just for a few hours you can survive. Can you survive 1 hour without checking your phone? Can you survive 1 hour without that phobia, nomophobia? That's the real idea. So that way, gradually you have to continue. Gradually you can develop this ability. You can create certain rules, norms regarding the mobile use. During the dinner table time, I'm not using. During the weekends, I limit my use. Some people, they intentionally, deliberately, they leave their phones behind and go for a walk. Right? So that way, you have to create some norms, rules, and somehow go through this process. It is like recovering from a drug addiction. This too is another form of drugs. So you are recovering from this addiction. Initially, you feel this detoxing process, detoxing symptoms are there. You feel the difficulty of it. But gradually, you can work towards betterment. Gradually, you can strengthen your mind. Gradually, you realize you feel incremental levels of happiness in your mind. You are more present. You are more happy. You are witnessing many things in your surrounding, and you connect with people much better. Why? Because you are not caught on a device. These devices, they really influence our personal relationships, especially the close relationships. The valuable time that you can spend with them are spent on these devices. Some people, they create long distance relationships with these devices. Somebody in Iran or somewhere haven't seen, but you are friends with them. You spend time, you feel like talking to them every day. Haven't even seen the person, but you are hooked that way. So these type of things, people are caught while ignoring the people, the real people in their surrounding. While ignoring the real friends, they are chatting with social media friends. While ignoring the real family, their spouse, they try to find somebody out of the internet. So this is how it works. So initially, it will be difficult, but with time, you realize you are more present. You feel incremental levels of peace, and you connect with people much better. So that process you have to go through. And there was this popular article, maybe like few years ago. It was an interview done with Selena Gomez, and she was saying that she took a 4-year break from these devices and internet. That 4-year break, it was a huge impact for her mental health, and she was saying that she feels more present, much greater levels of happiness in her mind, and she connects with people much better. So you too can find that article if you are interested. She was talking about how this 4-year break from these devices, social media, helped her and her mental health. Right? So these things are there. I'm not suggesting you to take a 4-year break. Maybe you can find some other solution while using these devices wisely. Because sometimes we can't live, nowadays we can't live without these devices. They are an essential part of our daily life. They play an essential part. That's fine. You do use it when it is necessary, but you have to be conscious of how harmful. You have to be conscious how it is affecting your life. With that consciousness, I'm sure you can achieve much greater levels of happiness, knowing what to do, knowing what to choose. Especially the time that you spend, you have to make sure that you are conscious of it. Otherwise, you'll be spending your personal time, your valuable time, on these devices and on the social media, and that could only ruin your life. Within few months, it could ruin your life. So this consciousness is very important. Although it was the same topic from last time, we discussed it with a twist today. This is more related to the new age things, new age devices. We are all just prisoners here of our own device, of your own smartphone, of your own device. You are a prisoner. Right. So with that, we'll end today's talk. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante. Much merits for the kind insights shared. I think all of us have experienced this type of being a prisoner to devices at some point in our life, or maybe currently are experiencing this issue. I myself have seen this happen. And next, we have the question and answer session, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session. I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners.
Avsarai Bhante. As usual, we will quickly run through the beginner's guide. If you need a little refresher, or if you're new, and if you're listening or watching us from a recording, you'd like to use these as your guidance to start meditating. These are two videos provided to us by Nisan and Vanaya to help us understand how to start meditating. One is about mindful walking, and the next is about mindful sitting. Once you're able to watch these two videos, put your own practice, start your own practice, start with any amount of time and make your way up to a 1 hour every day. And once you have your own experience, then you can share your experience with us. We will present these experiences to Bhante and ask his guidance on how to progress and whether you have any questions on it. So how you can send these reports to us are via the Google form, which we have put all these details on the chat for you, and via the email, beginnersnv@gmail.com. The link to the Google form and the email details are on the chat. And the links to the two videos are also on the chat. You can also see any of the recording previous sessions recordings on the link given below as well. That too is shared. And if you have any questions with regards to any of these, please make sure that you write to us, one of us, or via this email address, and we are more than happy to help you. So now, as an example, we have also got one report that we've received today via our Gmail. We didn't see any reports received via the Google form. So I will start with the report. Mindful sitting. Once seated, the body was in a comfortable position. Mind naturally noticed the breath. Prominent breath had soon become subtle. Memories arose and passed, some sound heard and passed as if in the background. Breath had moved between being prominent and subtle at intervals. Boredom and sleepiness arose, but was aware that this would also pass away. Peacefulness felt in body and mind. Sat for an hour. Mindfulness during the day. There are more opportunities in daily life to see the impact of mindfulness. For example, things and people outside that used to bring up annoyance, irritation, shock, etc., have passed without much storytelling in mind. There was surprise regarding why the old way of getting worked up was not happening. There was awareness of not needing to take responsibility for what external world is doing. Mind appreciates the calmness and acceptance more compared with reacting and wasting mental or physical energy in wanting to be right. Being familiar with observing what arises and passes away in formal sitting and walking sessions is certainly leaking into the day-to-day life. Mind is less interested in reacting to others because of the knowledge, and this shall also pass, comes up more as the option. This, of course, does not mean that the reactive mind is completely switched off, but simply that the mind, recognizing the increasing number of times when it is not interested in the old habit of reacting to news or events or people. Impact of this is the peace and calmness of mind lasting longer. It is interesting that it does not feel like a conscious choice is made to not react to things. but it feels like sometimes not reacting is just an automatic response. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers. That's the end of report, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, when you experience such benefits of the practice, it is worth sharing with the group, because there could be other people in the same audience that who haven't experienced such things, right? So your experience, it could be helpful for others to be encouraged towards their practice. That's why we share these experiences. Otherwise, when you do your practice, you will know. But it's good to share and it's good to discuss. That way we continue, and maybe hearing your experience, some other person might start practicing. And when they do, they too experience the same benefits. It might take some time, depending on the person, but these things come. So when such things happen, now you realize it is not a conscious choice to not react. Some people, they consciously not react, you know, anger is there. They suppress their anger, somehow get out of that situation. That too is an option. That is a primary option, you know, like a menial kind of option. It's not that much effective. But what happens when mind automatically, there is no urge to react? When you see that, you realize the change is possible. In this very life, the change is possible. That's why we continue our practice. If you expect things to get better suddenly after death, that won't happen. If you expect to go in some heaven after death, that's not how it happens. Instead, you have to create the heaven in the present, and you are assured that after death, the same thing will continue. Right? So this is how you see. Now you see that you are a totally different person. Although it feels like you are the same person, although you still get those urges, now you experience the world in a different way. You interact with the people in a different way. Right? Now the earlier way of getting yourself worked up, that's just a memory. Now it is no longer your reality. So this change is possible within a lifetime. In this very life, this change is possible. That's the very idea. When you continue your practice, more and more positive change will appear. Due to your certain years, months of practice, you have seen this benefit. And when you continue with it, more and more positive change will appear. So that's the idea of the meditation. You can do it. You can change it. You can change the behavior of this mind. You can change how you experience the world. You can change how you interact with other people. That change is possible in this very life. That's the very idea. And there are so many scientific researchers backing this up. They are saying nurture versus nature. I think we discussed that topic some time back, nurture versus nature. Earlier, they thought that whatever you are born with, the nature, or let's say the karma, that's how you have to continue. If you are born with anger, then you will be angry for the rest of your life. If you are born with certain issues, then you will be like that for the rest of your life. That's how they thought initially. But now they are saying the nurture, that too is playing a huge part. So with the training, you can change the mind for the better. The mind is changing, the brain is changing, even the body is changing. That change is possible, And that's what you are experiencing. That's what they are, what you are experiencing. And they say even the sicknesses might disappear. The sicknesses might even go away. You might feel the body lighter. You might feel how the mind is changed. Mind has changed its behavior. So this is the change. This is the benefits of this practice. They are saying this idea of epigenetics, and they are saying genetics are there, but epi means the above the genetics. You can either activate the chemical flagging, or you can either deactivate. So you could have a cancer gene, but if it is deactivated, then you no longer have to face cancer in future. Right? So you are born. Nature is there. You are born with a cancer gene. But due to the nurture part, due to the different choices that you make, due to the meditation, then that very gene, it lies latent. And you don't have to face that sickness. So these changes are possible. These changes are possible every moment you are making choices. You no matter worrying about the past, you can't do anything about it. Past choices, nothing you can do. Future choices, you can't plan them. You have control in the present moment. Present choices, you have to be conscious, make them better. Instead of choosing the anger, you are choosing something else. That's a choice. That choice is more like instead of choosing a cancer, you are choosing something else. Anger could be equal to cancer. Think about anger. When you choose anger, what happens to your body? How you feel afterwards? So that's the thing. Those are the choices we make. So instead of choosing this, you choose something else. You do that training for a while, few months, few years, you continue. Then you realize automatically you are making that choice. No longer you need to put effort towards it. Instead, now the mind is habitually choosing. That's what's emphasized in your report. No longer you have to do it consciously. Now habitually this comes. Habitually the non-reactive nature is there. That's the real piece that we are talking about. People can do various things. Well, could go to, you know, difficult situations, but still, inside you are peaceful. Your peace doesn't depend on the outside world. Your peace doesn't depend on outside people. That's how the practice works. That's how you can achieve the lasting peace. So you have seen some benefits, that's good. And sharing is good. What we suggest is continue the same way. Continue with the same practice and you will see much greater results, much greater benefits.
Thank you, Bhante. That's lovely to hear the report writer as well for their experience. We're very grateful for you for sharing. And that's all the reports we have. Can we see any hands? If you've got any questions, please raise your hand, Zoom hand, and we will let you unmute and ask your questions from Bhante. It could be regarding today's session or any questions that you have. Yes, Hemmali, please go ahead and unmute and ask your question.
Yes, Bhante Avasarai. This is regarding today's experience, Bhante. When you say observe the mind, at that time, I didn't observe any thoughts. So at that moment, I need your advice to continue with that or continue with that or what's the advice you can give me?
Actually, the instructions, it wasn't to observe your mind. We said just simply allow the mind to roam around freely and be conscious of it. So you are not basically, there's a slight difference. Right?
Yeah, Bhante, actually I observed, I determined to observe the mind. I don't know how to explain, Bhante.
Yeah, so you were successful doing that, is it?
Sorry?
You were successful doing that, is it?
At that moment, no thoughts. It went some time. I want to ask you whether I have to apply virya on that or something like that. Advice.
Yeah, the virya is already applied. That's why you are doing the meditation, right? Yeah. That observation, it takes effort, right? So that's already there. What you have to do is continue with this observation.
Right.
Anchor yourself into the body once you're given the chance. Now, no thoughts, no distractions means you are given the chance. So you can anchor yourself into the body. Let it be the breath. Let it be the walking sensations. That way you can anchor yourself to the body and continue with this very observation. Thoughts might appear. When they appear, you acknowledge them. You know that the thoughts are there while continuing your observation. Right? So that way you have to do. If your mind is distracted, let's say we were targeting today's topic with the practice part. So if you are utterly distracted, then simply being aware of that distraction. If your mind is peaceful, you can gently bring your attention to the breathing. Know that your body is breathing, know that your body is walking. That very practice you can continue. But for a person who can't focus, especially for those teenagers nowadays, they can't focus. They have a really hard time doing this. So the initial part would be to just simply sit for a while. Notice that your mind is distracted. When you continue that practice for a few days, then you can gently bring your attention to the breathing. Bring your attention to the walking. That way you can continue.
Thank you, Vante.
Thank you, Himali. Is there anything else? Anyone else want have any questions? Please raise your hand. We still have some time today. Yes, Namanta, go ahead.
Thank you, Sonali. Much merits. Well, Bhante, I have a question where I can see sometimes my mind gets to a standstill and I don't get any thoughts after that. Even in day-to-day life, I get this happening. Even when I have to do something urgently, I get my thoughts kind of frozen, or the mind is frozen, and I can feel my body posture and I can observe my mind, but anything related to the task at hand will not come into the mind. So then I usually open up the Facebook account and see some, scroll some a little bit more, and then try to get the mind running, like starting an engine. And then by using that, I get the mind to run and then get to the task. So it's a very funny situation, but I observe that this has happened many, many times. This thing about coming into a standstill, in my thinking, from what I have heard, is a good thing. But I don't know, it's a bit of an unusual experience. So I wanted to share it with Bhante.
Yeah, the consciousness of it, the awareness is important. Now, at least you know that this is happening. Usually what happens is that when you continue the practice for some time, maybe for a few years, these type of situations arise. Maybe this is more like a phase. You have to go through such phases. And in a way, it's a good thing. No anxiety is there in your mind about the impending task. No thoughts, no worrying, nothing is there. So in a way, it is, you know, stress-free in a way it is comfortable. But in other ways, if you want to get this going, then you might need some more force or energy, right? So that's the struggle I think that you are having. So you use the social media or such things as a trick to get you fired up, continue with the project, right? So these are phases, and especially when it comes to practice, this type of a situation, especially not getting anxious about the impending task, not getting any thoughts about it, it's a good thing. Now, for example, let me share one of the experiences from today. Now, today I was waiting for the program. Yeah. And usually, let's say, when we approach 1 p.m. according to Sri Lankan time, when the program is not started, usually anxiety, stress, worrying, though that's the usual behavior, right? So anyway, I was busy with something. I was just sitting here waiting for the meeting to be started. And suddenly I realized it's 1:05 now. Then I checked that group, and Sonali was also waiting, right? So that's how it is, you know. No matter how much you struggle, the meeting will start when it starts. Struggling won't do. Of course, you can check with somebody. I called Rajika and she said that she will check on it. That you can do. But getting worked up over it, it won't help. So you have to, most of the time we confuse these two. Right? We have to understand we are doing the things. We are doing the things. That's a separate thing. Getting worked up over these things, that's a separate thing. Most people, they confuse these two. They think that getting worked up, that's how you have to do things. That's not true. That's not true. That's not how it works. Instead, you can do things while being comfortable, being peaceful in your mind. Especially my personality also, when I think about the past, I'm a person who will get worked up, right? When things are late, I get worked up. I want to do them on time. Those, that type of behaviors they have. But after a few years, maybe different lifestyles, no, that too might help. But after a few years, now I realize that I do things maybe even more than I used to do. I do things, but I am not getting worked up over them. So that's a training that takes time. So in a way, it's a good thing, Namantha. But you have to understand the difference. Doing certain things, doing things, we are not avoiding that. We do that part. But getting stressed, worked up, getting stressed over it, that's a different part. Right? Most people think this stress is the task. That's not true. Getting worked up is the task. That's not true. Instead, you can do things without getting worked up. Right? So that way you have to continue. When you have that difference in your attitude, then you'll be much better with this current situation. You'll accept it much better because you know there's a difference between getting worked up and doing the things. Most people, they confuse these two. And at the end of the day, most of the time, they haven't done anything. But they got so stressed, got so worked up due to the situation. Right? So that is not helping. And that is creating just the stress. No work is done, but just the stress is created. So no efficiency, no benefit to themselves or to the surrounding people. So that way, if you approach, then you can consider your thing as a good thing. It's a positive thing that you don't get worked up over these things. You can simply continue in a comfortable, relaxed manner. So that way we'll take
Yes, that's a very illustrative, nice answer, Bhante, because from the American perspective or Western perspective, it was taught to us even in university that you need to have a particular level of stress to optimize your productivity. Like if you are too stressed, you are not productive, but if you are not stressed enough, you are still not productive. So you have to have a moderate amount of stress to be highly productive. That's what was taught even in academically, in academic environments to us. But from what Bhante advised and from mindfulness experience, I think you can do work, you can do your work without any stress. If you practice well enough and put enough time onto the practice. So it's a very, very wise approach to approaching the issue of stress as well, because I don't feel stressed most times. I feel like I need to start the engine internally and get going. That's all that I feel. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, so the usually the education system, they recommend that we maintain a certain level of stress.
Certainly.
That's the, you know, the Western approach. But when we think about the Chinese approach, that's a totally different philosophy, right? So Zen practices, that's a totally different philosophy. And those Lao Tzu teachings and stuff, they say we be like water. Water doesn't hurry. Nature doesn't hurry. Be like nature, be like water. That's the idea. Nature doesn't hurry, but nothing left undone. Right, everything has its own timing. You have to pick that timing. When you pick it, you can do things with minimum energy. Otherwise, getting worked up, you waste most of your energy. That's the Western approach. Two different philosophies, right? Usually in the modern system, we are taught the Western approach. We want to create stress. That's how we survive. Some people, they feed on stress. Without stress, they can't live. Right? They feed on the problems. Without problems, they can't live. So those harmful behaviors are there because of the wrong approach. But when it comes to that Zen philosophy, we can see that without getting stressed, we can do things. Nature doesn't hurry, but nothing left undone. That's the greatest example, right? Nature, it feels like don't care, things are left undone. It doesn't hurry. It waits for its perfect timing. And nothing left undone. At the end of the day, you realize everything is done perfectly, right? So that's the approach. It takes time because we are usually identified with our mind, no? Right? So that mind identification goes against this. It doesn't like that this nature thing. It doesn't like things, how things flow. It wants to go against that flow. That is the identification of your mind. Right? So it takes time for you to develop this kind of a balance. But gradually it will come. I have seen with my experience also, I have seen that getting worked up, it won't help. You have to just simply wait. Wait for the perfect timing. When the timing is there, even without much effort, it gets done. What I do is that instead of having a single project, I have like 10 to 10, 15 projects, ongoing projects, various things, starting from masonry work, to developing websites. I have certain different projects. So what I do is that I keep things on hold without closing them and wait for the opportunity. Especially being a monk, you are not free to do whatever you like. You are not free to, you know, grab whatever you like. That's not how it works. So you have to always wait for the perfect moment, right? So that training is what we do, especially even the duties here. We have so many pending projects, right? No resources, nothing, waiting, waiting, waiting. Suddenly somebody comes and, Bhante, shall we do this? Oh, yes, we were waiting for that, right? That's the opportunity. Yes, that's the opportunity. Then that project is done. So many projects. I can't believe we have done so many projects without no resources, without purchasing anything. We have done. It's a very nice, not that we can't purchase, but it's very nice to do things this way. As a training we do, you know. People volunteer, they are the meditators here. So they too take part, right? Purchasing something, hiring somebody, that way you can do, but there is no real fun in it. So do you somehow allow things to align in the perfect way, then suddenly within few hours the project is done. Maybe we have been waiting for like months, but when the time is right, it gets done. Some people, they say, why don't you purchase this? I'll offer this. I'll do this. We'll hire people. That's not how it works, especially when it comes to these type of lifestyles. You have to find your own balance. If you just, you know, start the purchasing, start hiring people, then of course the things will happen, but there's no real fun. Now what we do is that we have pending projects. We wait for the perfect time. You can't stress upon it, you know, you can't get worked up because so many things are pending, so many things are waiting. When the time is right, it gets done without even thinking, right? So that's the beauty of it. That's why what I do. I have so many projects. I keep them on hold, starting from masonry work to the website building I have. So when something goes wrong, I pay my attention to some other project. Pending, so many pending projects are there, no? So I pay attention to some other thing, spend some time there. Then maybe after a few weeks, when I revisit, that problem is already gone. Now we can restart that project. So that way we have to find the balance. I don't know how this will be applicable for your people. That's the issue, right? So you people, you have to find your own balance because you are living a different lifestyle. So you have to find your own balance. I'm just talking about my balance.
Yes,
in
Bhante.
This lifestyle. Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing Bhante's own experience, which is very rare for us to experience in this manner, which is why this program is so valued as well. Because our projects are like more like a continuous standard pipeline of based on the weekly 7 days, so whether it's Saturday, Sunday, there will be a continuous supply of standard work outputs being required, whereas Bhante's would be more variety based, I think.
Yeah, we'll have more fun. While
exactly. Ours will be more boring because it's the same work.
You have a timeline.
Timeline, deadlines.
Skilled labor you need.
Sometimes labor. Unskilled labor like driving.
All those things are there, right? But what we do here is we don't need, we don't have any timeline. We don't have skilled labor. Nadeep comes tomorrow, he is the labor. That's how it goes. Ask Nadeep, he has done some work here. He stayed, I think, a few years ago. He stayed for like a couple of weeks. And during that time, he was the labor guy. Right? So that's how it works. So no skill labor, no timeline, no material. Still, you do the projects.
Very nice, Pandey. Thank you so much for that explanation. It's a very good explanation, especially with regard to working, being able to work without being stressed. It's a great benefit to us. Okay, I'm finished with that question. Sonali, thank you.
Well, I think it's time is up now, Navanta. It's over to you to end the session anyway.
Okay, thank you so much for conducting through the question and answer session, Sonali, and also much merits to you, and also much merits and thank you to Venerable Bhante for valued insight in the question and answer session. So we will wrap up the program as we are slightly over time as well. We are greatly thankful to Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusulettare Thero for representing Nisaranwane Forest Monastery and joining into our session today, providing us with a lot of insightful guidance and teachings on the path of mindfulness in this way. So we would like to associate all these, share and associate all these gained merits with the Venerable Bhante and wish his own progress in mindfulness path to be flourishing and always to be reaping benefits for himself. And we would wish him good health and long life into the future. Furthermore, we would like to gratefully mention the Chief Abbot of the Nisarananya Forest Monastery, Most Venerable Bhante Udayiragama Dhammajiva Thero, who instructed this program to be created in this manner and be maintained in this manner. We wish and associate these merits to be shared with him and wish him a long life and great health into the future, and also a successful path in the track of mindfulness. Furthermore, I would like to also mention the wonderful team of organizers who are behind this program, helping out the program in their own unique strengths and capacities, putting time out of their own daily routines. Thank you, and we share these merits with all of you and wish that you all gain the depth and breadth of mindfulness experiences and keep nourishing your lives with these many benefits from mindfulness, and wish you all great health and long life. Furthermore, I'm greatly thankful to all of you who are joining through the Zoom session and also through the Facebook live stream. You provide us the justification to continue this program in this manner with the participation of Bhante from Nisarananya Forest Monastery. So thank you, and we share all these merits with you as well and wish that you are able to keep on practicing and applying these principles to develop more and more depth in the practice of mindfulness and gain the benefits, and we wish you all great health and long life as a result as well. So the program will continue again on next Saturday, same time, and apologies for my delay in starting the program today. I was being very optimistic about the traffic conditions, and I lost a few minutes due to some traffic issues or GPS or something, and I got late. So program will be starting at Sri Lankan time 1 p.m. wherever you are located geographically. So I think the times are changing for UK and Australia from today onwards. So adjust your times accordingly. It will be 8:30 a.m. for UK, and it will be 5:30 p.m. for Australia. Sri Lankan time will remain as 1 p.m. So we will meet you next week on Saturday, same time in Sri Lankan time format. And I would like to wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead, and we'll hope that you will be able to practice further. And if, of course, if you can send us reports, those will be fantastic. Have a good week ahead, and we will see you next week. Thank you. I will end the Zoom session now.